glad God made it possible for me to be here and be part of the family of God. Man, I thank God for that. And appreciate Brother Zach quoting them scriptures. I thank God for that. And sometimes I just feel like coming in here and let's just read the Bible. Amen. Just start going through some books. Just read the Word of God. Amen. I like it. Amen. Who ate beans before church? Got to quit feeding that cart. That cart might need something besides.
Yeah, man. It's a WD-40.
But church, that sounds like me a lot of times when I'm getting up, getting out of the bed. I sound a lot like that.
Tell me about it.
Matthew 5:4 said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." We've looked at mourning with natural sorrow, and last week we just went through some unnatural sorrow, but this week I want to look at supernatural sorrow. And I believe that's the main idea of this beatitude, is supernatural sorrow. Amen. And Jesus is talking about repentance here, is what I believe he's dealing with. And that is the result of the supernatural working of God in your life. Repentance is the result of a supernatural work of God. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." If you can remember about a year ago, and I don't expect you can, but I can remember saying it, but I remember saying about a year ago that the Beatitudes work in steps, frontwards and backwards. You can't get to step three by bypassing step one, or you can't get to step two by bypassing step one. You can't get to one without the other. They all just kind of gradually lead you to the next one, and then once you reach all of them, God will bring you all the way back down. They work in order like that if you'll read them, and I believe this verse here is a direct result of being poor in spirit. I believe in blessed are those that mourn comes from being poor in spirit. You'll see if we'll carry on a little bit tonight and how that works. But the logical thing for people to do when they see their own spiritual need, the logical thing to do. Zach and I was talking coming down the road, and I wasn't even thinking about this, but I told Zach, I said, "I don't know what it is." I said, "I've never bucked or balked truth. I've never got mad at truth. I've been mad and God has revealed truth to me and I've had to get it right. Amen. And I got over my madness. There's been times in my life where I've been mad and then God has showed me things and showed me why I was wrong in my madness and I've had to repent of it and get it right. But I've never got mad because," and I told him, I said, "Son, out of 30-some years living for the Lord or trying to live for the Lord, I failed miserably. But one of the things that I found out that offends people the most is when you can tell them something about the Word of God and that bothers them enough. But if you show them in the Word of God the error of their way, that really makes them mad. And I've never understood that. I've never been one to do that. I've never really, you know, since I've been saved, I've never been shown anything in the Scriptures that was contrary to my ideas or my theories or my beliefs or my ways and me get mad about it. There's been times where the Word of God has ripped my guts out. But I've not said and got mad about it." Amen. You say, "What'd you do?" "I got right about it." Amen. By the grace of God, I got right about it. But you can show 99% of Americans something in the Word of God that contradicts their ways, and they get mad at you. It aggravates them. But I say the logical thing to do when you see your spiritual need is to repent. That's the logical thing. Amen. That'd be the right thing to do. And when you see that need, just admit it. Admit that that's your spiritual need. Now, listen to me. I don't want to get too far off, but that word confess, too many people have written that verse for an excuse to sin. They've used First John 1:9 way too many times as an excuse to sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're real brief sometimes in them definitions, meaning, you know, confess means to admit. But let me tell you what you're admitting to that sin. You're admitting to that sin as God sees that sin.
That's right.
That's what you're admitting. You're admitting that that sin is as God sees that sin. And I tell you what that'll do. That'll make you mourn, friend. That'll make you do some moaning and some groaning and some screaming and some crying. That'll make your stomach turn and your heart hurt. That'll do all that stuff. And it ain't just going, yeah, God, you're right. No, it's seeing that sin as God sees that sin. Amen. And that's what helps you turn from that mess when you see it like God does. Those who are poor in spirit will mourn over themselves and their sin. That's that first beatitude. Those that see that sin like God does, they'll be poor in spirit. Amen. Amen. They'll be poor in spirit and they'll mourn over that sin. And they'll mourn over themselves being caught up in that sin. And through this mourning, they'll experience the real comfort of God. God will comfort you in that kind of mourning. Supernatural. Here's my thought for tonight. We must distinguish, however, between what is repentance, what is regret, and what is remorse. Many, many times we confuse regret with repentance. Or we confuse that dangerous word remorse, and remorse is a dangerous thing. But we confuse that with repentance. Remorse is not repentance. Regret is not repentance. Repentance is repentance. Amen. They're three totally different words. When the conscience of our sin rests only in our mind, ladies and gentlemen, when the consciousness, when we're aware, when we've been made aware, and we are very made aware of our sin, when it's made conscious in our mind, we regret it. If you got any moral decency about you, you regret it. That's a regret. But it's in your mind. Then you can see that also when it's in your heart, not just your mind, but when it reaches your heart, when your sin reaches your heart, it becomes remorseful. You say, why? Because you do hate it. And you don't only hate it, but you hate yourself as well. Remorse will make you hate yourself for doing what you've done. But that's still not repentance. What is the repentance in this thing? When that sin reaches your mind and you realize what you've done and you despise what you've done through remorse. Now watch this. Here comes the repentance. Get the flip up and get away from it. Man. Get away from it. Because repentance will make it'll cause an action in your life. You won't just stay there. There's too many people that's remorseful, but they continue in that sin. That's not repentance. True repentance will bring you out of that mess. Amen.
Right.
Remorse won't bring you out. Regret won't bring you out. You can regret it till the day you die, but you're going to stay right there in it. You can be remorseful. You can hate yourself over the things that you've done, but you still ain't been delivered. Amen. You still ain't got out of that hog pen. The only time you're going to get out of that hog pen, listen to me, is when that sin affects your will. Not just your mind, not just your heart, but it takes a change of your will. Amen. Your will change. Amen. You'll get out of that mess. You'll take a step toward God. That's what you'll do because He's the only one that can comfort. He's the only one that can deliver. When my concern affects my will as well as my mind and my heart, then I have experienced true repentance. Repentance involves not only a change of feeling and thinking, but also a change of the will. The prodigal son illustrates that perfectly.
Right.
His mind, heart, and will were all involved in his repentance. His mind told him that his father's servants were better off than him. That's what his mind told him. He sat down there in that hog pen and it come to him and he said, man, my father's servants has got it better than me. Then his heart made him sick of the situation. He said, I perish with hunger. He got plumb sick of what he was doing. He had real remorse for what he's doing. But then watch this. His will motivated him to arise and go to his father. He didn't get up in his remorse. And he did take a step toward his father in his regrets. But when his will changed, amen, I say, coming to God is a matter of the will. Amen. How many people have we known that sit in the hog pen realizing their foolishness and never come out? I mean, thousands, millions upon millions upon millions of people sitting in the hog pen and they know they're wrong and they do what they do and they hate what they do, but they ain't never come out.
Right.
They're still wallowing in the hog pen. I don't know too many drug addicts in my life, the ones that I know that sit at this stage in life that's actually enjoying what they're doing. Yeah, they enjoy the high. Yes, it feels good to their flesh. But down deep on the inside, they have a regret. They hate what they are, most of them that I know.
Right.
But that will ain't never been changed enough to get them up out of that hog pen and turn to the Father. Amen. You can regret it to the day you die, but you ain't going to be delivered. Let me remind you that this is not, regret and remorse is not repentance. Then there are those that think about their sins and hate themselves for committing them. But ladies and gentlemen, that's only remorse. It's only remorse. How many people do we know that claim God will not give them repentance? I've heard that stuff. I'm about sick of hearing it. God won't grant me repentance. Listen, that's a bald-faced lie right out of the wickedness of a heart of an old vile sinner, friend. Listen to me. I'm telling you, God's already granted repentance. You don't have to wait for God to grant repentance. Repentance has already been granted for everybody that's sitting in this building. It ain't a matter of God granting repentance. It's a matter of your will, friend. That's what it's a matter of.
That's right.
A man ain't willing to turn to God.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I am. Well, then bless God, do it. Amen. Why ain't you at God?
Amen.
Either you're lying or God's lying. Either you're wrong or God's wrong. God already granted repentance. The problem is that people will not arise and go to the Father. That's what the problem is. They will not arise and go to the Father. If man would arise and go to God, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is repentance. Amen. That is repentance. Get up and go to God. That is repentance. Amen. God ain't going to wave a magic wand and give you a warm little fuzzy feeling. He might, but that ain't repentance. Listen, friend, getting up and going to God's repentance. When the Holy Ghost pricks your heart, run to God. That's repentance.
Amen.
Repentance toward God. And then faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all there is to salvation.
Right. Amen.
Most folks are willing to get to regret. Most are willing to be remorseful. But not many are willing.
Amen.
Right. Not many are willing to repent. Not many are willing to go to God. They can sit and hate their self. They can hate their sin. They can regret it. Friend, all they had to do, if they really mean business, is get up and get to God.
Amen.
Yeah. You could be smitten with a wheelchair, friend, but I tell your heart, reach out to God. Amen. You can be right where you're at, and praise God, your heart will reach out to God.
Amen.
Man, that's what God's paying attention to. Amen. Listen to what God says in John chapter 5. I've quoted it 1,000 times, but he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Mm-hmm. That's what God said. God said, you will. It's a matter of your will. You will not come to me that you might have life. You will not repent. I've given you repentance. I've granted you repentance. Repentance is laid at the doorstep, but you will not come. That's what he said. You're the one that won't participate. You're the one that won't appropriate. Then John 5:46 and verse 47, watch this. This is all there is to salvation. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? The only two reasons a man ain't saved is because he won't come to God and he won't believe God. That's all there is. Then John 6:35 through verse 37 says this, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth to me come to me, and him that cometh to me, praise God, I will in no wise cast out. Either you believe that or you don't.
Amen.
It's pretty simple. And it's a matter of believing it or not believing it. Amen. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, he that will get up out of the hog pen, if he'll turn his heart toward me, I'm telling you, I will hold on to that for all his life. I'll never cast him out.
Amen.
Here's what I think. I believe people have a conscience, and I believe people have been told the truth. And I think some people have character and integrity. And through this, through that integrity, through that maybe good raising, maybe you just heard the truth, they regret what they do because they know it's wrong. They believe that. They believe what they do is wrong. They believe their sin is wrong. And some even hate themselves for doing it. I know people that hate themselves for what they do, but few are willing to appropriate the repentance that God has already granted. They just won't appropriate the repentance. They won't get up and go to God. Oh, preacher, help me now. I'm telling you, there's something people's holding on to. Amen. They still like eating them husks. That's exactly right, friend. There's something in that hog pen that's got them, amen, and they like it still.
That's right.
Yes, sir. They're not willing to give the hog pen up just yet, amen.
Right.
Amen. That's why I say all they got is regret and maybe some remorse, but son, they ain't willing to appropriate the repentance because there's something in their life, in that hog pen, that means more to them than God. You can be so remorseful. I said remorseful is a dangerous thing. You can be so remorseful that you can commit suicide. That's what a lot of people do. A lot of people just hate life so much, hate what they are, hate what they become to the point where they just commit suicide. Happens every day in America. Happens every day. Maybe it's a pity party. Maybe it's just outright hate. I believe most of it's fueled straight out of hell in the devil.
Right.
But the good news is you don't have to dwell in remorseville.
Man,
you don't have to live there. You don't have to live in that little town of remorse. Amen. You can move, praise God. God has made a way. Yes, sir, friend. God has already made reconciliation for us. You hear me? It's you and I, friend, that God's waiting on. It's you and I waiting to change. He's waiting on us to change our will. Amen. You can get up in your heart and get to God. Amen. You might be in shackles and chains and might not be able to make it to an altar, but I tell you what God's a listening to. God's a listening to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. You can turn that heart towards God and God will remove that scale from your eyes. Yes, sir. And save your soul. Yes, he will. Amen. Amen. Son, I'm telling you, thank God. Here's what I also believe. I believe people might have regrets. But they ain't sick enough of them to change their will. Mm-hmm. I believe people might have some remorse, but they're not sick of it enough to change their will. Jerk the covers off and look at people that mourn and this thing of repentance in Matthew 5:4. They're not willing to change their will. If they was, they'd be saved.
Right.
That's the people that are saved. The people that God has revealed their sin to them, and they got past regret and they went beyond remorse and they got up and went to God. And them's the ones that God give faith. Hey, when you take a step toward Him, when He removes the scale, that's giving you faith to believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. How's God going to help you unbelief? Repent. Change your will. And God will give you faith to believe. What do you need faith to believe for? You won't even repent. What does people need to believe for? You can't get to heaven by believing. What do you need to believe for? What do you need to believe Jesus is the Son of God for? What, without repentance? Is he going to do, hey, is Jesus the Son of God doing you much good down there eating the husk that the swine eat and loving that mess and you won't change your will? That'll never save your soul. But if you'll get up, praise God, if you'll get up and turn to God, believing he is the Son of God, God will give you that faith.
That's right.
I believe people are hanging on to things and will not come. I just believe that. Unless God shows me something else, and I believe that's scripturally sound, what I'm saying. But I believe people are holding on to things that mean more to them than Jesus, and they will not come. Yes, they have regrets. Which one of us, with common sense, don't regret some of the stuff we do? Which one of us in here don't have some remorse over some of the things we do?
That's right.
How many of us in here are willing to repent over our sin? Turn to God. It's more than just words. It's action. Man, your heart turns. We talk a lot about certain sins and we're willing to confess and even cry over them, but I believe it's much deeper than some of the sins that we blurt out sometimes. I mean, we're a small group of people and we run with a small network of people and we pretty much know all the surface sins of about everybody around us. In our little network, we know all the little things that they do on a regular basis. But I'm going to tell you what I believe, Miss Stephanie. I don't believe that's the problem. I believe that's the symptoms right. of the problem. I believe it's much deeper than what we're looking at. And I believe, Miss Holly, that we're not willing to come clean about that stuff. We're willing to come clean about some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. We're willing to. But boy, I tell you, there's something deeper, Miss Stephanie. There's something much deeper. And I believe that. I've believed that for years. It ain't so much what people's confessing, Brother Zach. That ain't nothing but a symptom. That's just a little offspring of what the problem is. Mm-hmm. We're trying to treat our symptoms, ladies and gentlemen, instead of getting to the roots. And that's what I'm talking about. Got to get down there to the roots. Amen.
Right.
Got to get down there to the root. We have been comfortable too long in covering up. I mean, how in the name of God are we going to uncover now? You know, what am I going to look like? What's people going to think of me? I tell you what I'm going to think. I'm going to thank God. That's what I'm going to think. Amen. I tell you what, there ain't nothing that surprises me. I done read Mark chapter 7. I know what's in every man's heart in this building tonight. I know what's in every human heart inside this building. I know everybody in here is capable of murder, fornicate, murder, son. I mean, isn't that something? I mean, we're capable of everything under the sun. Our evil imaginations is only evil continually. Man, it's amazing. Hey, listen, man, after I preached Sunday, I went home that night and I told Brother Church and I told Carl, I had some of the most vile dreams after I preached on lust Sunday. And God blessed the preaching Sunday. And God right. was pleased with that message Sunday. I went home and had some of the most vile dreams through the night. And I woke up, would you believe I slept in? I'm not being silly, but I slept in till 5 o'clock in the morning. But I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was almost like I had a radio stuck on my headboard, and George Jones was singing in my mind just as clear as if I had the radio on sitting on my headboard. And I woke up, and it smoked me, and I thought, my God, look at this attack. Lord, look at this attack on my mind, even in my subconscious. I'm not even able to sit here and fight it off in my conscience. It's in my subconscious while I'm not even aware. There's an attack on me when I'm sound asleep and you wake up with that stuff on your mind. And in your flesh, one of the first things you want to do is maybe go turn on the radio. But you have to go find yourself on your knees and try to get a hold of God and ask God to help you with that. Why would you even bring that up? Because I don't like keeping secrets about those things. Mm-hmm. I don't like letting those things be secrets in my life. I don't like to let my subconscious be a secret. Mm-hmm. Amen. Go ahead and just let people know. how wicked and vile something was. And, amen. Let that cat out of the bag, praise God. It might keep you from taking a step in that direction. Right? Might help you with some accountability sometime. People are just way too comfortable. I know people that'll crucify you for drinking a beer. Listen, I know exactly what I'm talking about, and I don't know if I can get this thing across. And I know people that'll crucify you for drinking a beer. And them suckers have sat around and drunk themselves. I know people that'll look at you and your sin and eat you alive and talk about you and make a scapegoat out of you and everything else. And they're just as guilty. Just as guilty. And wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. Because people's just as guilty and they can't get their eyes off of looking at everybody else.
That's right.
I don't need and I don't want anybody. If somebody felt like they needed to, that, you know, God let them, whatever. That's whatever. But just on the surface, I don't need and want anybody to confess anything to me. I'm not a priest, you know, Catholic. But what I do wish people would do is see it like God sees it and come clean with Him.
That's right, yeah.
And it ain't me. It may not be me that you need to come clean with. You might need to go to that individual that you done wrong. You might need to go to another human being that's involved in some of that mess with you and really, you know, come clean with them too. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen. It may not be for the whole congregation to know all your business.
That's
amen.
Right.
Sometimes it's better off that the congregation don't know all the things that you
amen.
Do.
That's right.
But I tell you, man, you want to come clean with God.
Right.
You want to come clean with God. And there's been a few times in my life, Mama, where I've had to come clean with people.
That's right.
There's been a few times in my life where I've had to come clean. I've had to go to individuals and go, hey, man, let me tell you something. And I'm dealing with God about this thing, and God has really jerked this thing up by the roots, and God's wanting me to come to you and talk to you about this, and I want you to know that I was wrong, and man, I used you, and I done you wrong, or whatever it was, Brother Zach. And had to come clean with people, then God was pleased with that. And nobody knew it but me and that person. If that person wanted to run and go run their mouth, that's okay, because by that time, God done done some work in my heart, and I don't give a flip what they're saying. Amen. Amen. And anybody that's right with God won't get caught up. Anybody that's right with God
Amen.
Won't be overwhelmed with it.
Amen.
Anybody else that's right with God won't be overtaken by that. They'll just go somewhere and thank God and rejoice that you got that thing right. And they'll see that touch of God on your life, and they'll see that little spring in your step, and they won't be critical, but they'll be rejoicing. They'll just crawl away somewhere and thank God that you got that thing right. And man, there's fellowship there now, praise God. Now, and maybe even a relationship.
Right.
Might have been somebody got saved. Amen. Got some junk right. I said, you can regret it and you can be remorseful about it, but are you willing to do anything? Are you willing to change that will? Are you willing to take a step toward God? And taking a step toward God may be getting some things right with others. There's been times in my life, Carl, where I've messed up in my Christian life and done some stupid stuff, and it probably hindered or affected other people, and certainly other people saw it, and God has made me go to them and confess it and apologize and tell them how wrong I was. And because, you know, what I tried to do, Brother Zach, I tried to bypass all those people, and I tried to go to God, and God wouldn't have it. God wouldn't deal with me. I couldn't get that thing right between me and God because it involved other people. And I had to get that thing right with them other people. And then God was pleased and I could get it right with Him. God would cut me off. There's been times in my life where God would just cut me off until I went to those people and got that, maybe apologized. And then God would accept my apology. Man, I believe we'll have to get some things right with other people. I believe that old boy come out of that hog pen, went home, and got some things right with his dad.
That's right. Yeah.
I believe, son, he was willing to do whatever it took, son, to get back into good graces
Amen.
Of his father. Amen.
Amen.
Just to be a servant out there in his daddy's field, son. I mean, the lowest of the totem pole. If I could just be at the bottom of the totem pole,
amen.
I'll do whatever I got to do, son, just to be at the bottom of dad's totem pole.
That's right.
My problem is I'm seeing people that ain't willing to even be at the bottom. Not enough to do anything about it. Not enough to repent over it. Mm-hmm. Not enough to change their will. Man, ain't sick enough. I've said it 1,000 times. People ain't sick enough. They ain't lost. They're lost in their mind. They ain't lost in their soul. Amen. They ain't lost deep down. They ain't really good and lost. God, it didn't take much for me, friend. When I got lost, praise God, I ran to Jesus and got found. Amen. That's what happened.
Right.
It didn't take long. It didn't take much. And I realized that I was a sinner before God. I was just without God. I was going to die and go to hell. And I'm telling you, friend, I realized how wicked and vile I was. I'm telling you, it didn't take much. I went beyond regret. I went beyond remorse. And I ran out there in them woods to God. What'd God do? God gave me faith, amen, to believe. And you know what? Can I be honest with you? When I got saved, I didn't even know God gave faith like that to believe. I didn't know God gave faith to believe. I didn't understand all that stuff. I just knew I was lost. And I knew that I repented. Amen. I knew that. And I went up there and fell on my face before God. And without me even knowing it, God gave me faith to believe. I didn't know I didn't have faith to believe. I believed that Jesus on the flannel graph board. I believed in that historical stuff. I believed in all that. I didn't know it took the faith of Jesus Christ. I didn't understand that man saying, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." I didn't understand that. God didn't need me to understand all that. God didn't need me to be a Bible scholar to save me. Amen. God didn't need me to write a lexicon to save me. Amen. He just needed me to repent and come to Him. That's what He just needed me to change my will. That's all He needed from me. Just repent, son. I'll handle the rest. Amen.
Right.
God ain't going against our will. He give us that free will. Ladies and gentlemen, Brother Church, I've been praying that God would make my children willing. I don't know how all that works, but I just, Lord, I know you don't go against our will. I know you give us a free will. We're not Calvinist and all that kind of stuff. But God, would you do whatever it takes to make my children willing to get to God?
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Where you at? I'm not gonna go any deeper, but if the Lord will let me, I want to look deeper later on at what do we need to repent of, and go into that for a second, and then the repentance of the saints of God. I was just reading over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. God expects the saints of God to repent.
That's right.
That's right.
Paul wrote a letter to that Corinthian church and, hey, look, y'all need to repent. And here's what they said, because these people were believers. If y'all won't repent, there's going to be some church discipline. That wasn't for sinners. That was for saints. We want to look at the saints of God's repentance. But I'm asking you this evening, listen, man, I want to lay that charge at your heart today. Are you over there living in regret? Are you over there living in remorse? I want you to know God has granted you repentance to get up out of that hog pen. And if you'll change your will, what people think about salvation blows my mind sometimes. Absolutely blows my mind. Sometimes, Brother Zach, I think we put too much of this into God's salvation. Mm-hmm. We analyze it too much. We rationalize it too much. Did you hear what I said at the onslaught of this thought? Repentance is a supernatural work. It's a supernatural sorrow. It's not something that comes between your ears. Amen. It comes from God Almighty. Mm-hmm. God's the one that shined the light in my life and showed me the error of my way and how wicked it was. God's the one. I didn't understand half of what I understand. I didn't understand a third of what I, and I don't understand much today. I didn't try to figure it out. Hey, God had to figure it. I tell you, he figured it all out for me, friend. I was a sinner. I was vile. I was wretched. And I was without him.
That's right.
And that's about all I needed to understand. Amen. Yeah. That's about it, son.
That's it.
Where you at? Your regret is not repentance. God's not going to do anything else. Your remorse is not repentance. That's just something in your heart. But what about that will? Are you willing to come? He said, but you will not come that you might have life. That's where the problem is. That's the problem with repentance, our will. If God grants repentance, God's granted it. What you need to do is change your will. Amen. Amen. Let it get beyond your mind. Let it get beyond your heart. And let it affect your will. Amen. Sin is, repentance is not just turning from your sin. It's not just turning from your sin. That's a good part of it. That's a big part of it. That's a wonderful part of it. But it's turning from your sin and never going back. And you know what true repentance will do? It'll keep you from wallowing in the hog pen. There's been times in my life, Brother Church, and I'm just living in that glass house. There's been times in my life where I've went to God over my regrets and my remorse, and I've poured it out there too. And I didn't really sack mourn over it because I didn't quite see it like God did, but I knew it was wrong. So what I done was I laid it out there to God, and I pulled a fake repentance. And the next thing you know, I was caught up in that same mess again. You know what I realized? It wasn't real repentance. Mm-hmm. It wasn't genuine repentance. Amen. Amen. I know that a pig, you can wash that sucker and it's going to run back to the muck and the mire. I know that. And I know that a dog would return to his vomit. But it's been 30-some years and praise God, God's kept me saved.
Amen.
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 Amen. He's kept me, buddy. Where you at? You still just regretting it? Are you remorseful over it? Do you hate it and hate yourself? Why don't you get up and turn to God? Amen. Because God said, hey, look, if you'll come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. I will in no... Isn't that amazing how we like to make out like we want to be saved and call God a liar? I want to be saved and God won't save me. He said, if you'll come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. Mm-hmm. I'll in no wise. Ain't that wonderful?
That's right.
Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the thought of repentance in this passage. And pray, God, that you'd help us to get beyond our regrets and get beyond being remorseful. God, help us to repent. God, that mourning that brings godly comfort, that supernatural comfort in our life that only God can give. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, see where we're at, see where we stand. Help us quit using scapegoats. Help us to quit using excuses. Help us, blessed God, to see it for what it really is. And God, just to come clean with you, oh God, I mean, just lay prostrate at the feet of Jesus Christ and just pour it all out. I mean, lay it out, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.